start right there in verse 1. The first verse says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, waiting stinks. I hate waiting. I don't like waiting rooms. I don't like waiting in traffic. I don't even like waiting for the microwave to finish my popcorn. I don't like waiting. I don't know many people who like to wait. I can't stand it. It's frustrating. You just want to get moving. But the Bible, David said that he waited patiently for the Lord. Those illustrations I just gave are funny, but sometimes in our lives, there are serious times of waiting. There are hard times of waiting. Maybe it's waiting for the money to come in for a bill that you need to pay. Maybe it's waiting for that loved one to heal. Somebody you know that's sick or dying, and you're just waiting on God to do something, and you're waiting. Maybe it's waiting for that wayward prodigal child to come home. Or maybe a parent that is away from God that you desperately pray for. Maybe it's you're waiting for that miracle that you desperately need in your life. Waiting is sometimes very difficult. It is difficult. It's hard. But wait. Even though it's hard to wait, we still need to wait patiently. The Bible says in the book of James that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It goes on to say, let patience have her perfect work. It is hard to wait, but blessings follow. David waited patiently for the Lord. Honestly, after studying this chapter, they had mentioned that we really don't know the time frame of this psalm. We don't know when David wrote this. David had an amazing life, an amazing story, but we really don't know when he wrote this. But whatever was going on in his life at the time, he was waiting. He was waiting. And it says, not only did he wait patiently for the Lord, but he said that God inclined unto him, and he heard his cry. And it goes the same for us. When we wait patiently for the Lord, when we wait and do our best to wait and trust God, He does hear you, and He will hear your cry. David goes on to say in verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. Sometimes those waiting times are horrible pits. There are places we really can't see the light. We can't see what's going on. It's unknown. And like talking about the clay, it's hard to stand. It's hard to move. Those waiting times are difficult. They're not always easy. Sometimes there's not peace there that you need. Some of you may be facing something like that today in your life. You're in a pit. You're in the miry clay, and you don't know what's going to happen. Praise the Lord, when we were in that pit of sin and in the miry clay of our sin, that the Lord, if you're saved, He took us and set our feet on a solid rock, Jesus Christ, and He saved our souls. And that applies to our salvation, but in our lives, in our trials and struggles, sometimes it feels like a pit. It feels like the clay. But we need to wait because God will set our feet on a rock. I think of a story of when I was a young boy, when I was about 5 years old. We had just moved back from Germany. We were living in Westfield, Massachusetts, in an apartment complex that my grandparents managed. And my dad was at work, and my mom and my older brother and my baby sister, she was just a baby at the time, we decided to go up behind the apartments and in the wooded area, a little bit of woods and forest, and just kind of hike a little bit. And we were just having a good time as a family. And I'll never forget, I was probably 5 years old. I only remember a little bit about it, but I remember my mom had my sister on her back in one of those little baby backpacks, and my brother was with her, and they were walking, and we were just kind of hanging out. And we got to a little bit of a clearing, like some tall grass, and we're getting ready to walk through it, and I see up on the hill, there's these teenagers just kind of hanging out on the hill. And even as a five-year-old boy, I'm thinking, man, these people are weird. What are they just staring at us for? What are they doing? And we were there. And my mom and my brother and my sister on her back began to walk. And they didn't realize this was like a little swamp kind of an area. Very sticky mud and deep. And my mom and my brother got stuck. They're in the middle of this little swampy area. And they can't move. And their feet are stuck. And it's kind of suctioned to the ground. And they can't really pull their feet out. And they're really stuck. Especially with my brother he was young. He's probably 6 or 7. My sister was a baby. They couldn't really do much. She's holding his hand. And I, as a smart middle child, amen, I'm back. I hadn't walked through yet. I'm standing on the dry ground. Okay. And I'm like, oh, what do I do now? I didn't know what to do. And it was so cool. In that time when they couldn't move, these teenagers who I had just judged came off the hill, and they didn't know us, and they kind of got in and helped my mom out, and they helped my brother out, and one of them came around and got me and brought me around it so I didn't get stuck. And I thought about that story as I was reading this passage, how God does the same thing for us. When we're in that pit, when we're in that we're stuck, we can't move, God reaches down and He pulls us out of that place and He gives us the peace and He gives us the answer to our problem and He gives us what we need. And what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us what we need. That's what He does for us. He also says that He established my goings. Established my goings really means He steadied His walk. Listen, in that time when I was a kid and my mom was stuck, she couldn't really walk too well. But listen, that teenager, that person that was with her, helped her walk steady. And that's what God does for us. When things are uneasy and we don't know what to do, God can hold on to us, wrap His arms around us, and steady us, establish our goings. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, thank the Lord for what He does in our lives. Moving on, verse 3. Said, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Not only does He steady our walk and he helps us through that time and puts our feet on a rock, but He gives us a new song to sing. Sure, He fixes our problem, but not only does He fix our problem and steady us, but He gives us a new song to sing. A song of happiness, a song of joy. That's what He did for David. That's what David said. He said, listen, not only did He help me and pull me out of that pit, but He gave me a new song to sing. And many of you can look back in times in your life when things have been difficult and things have been tough and you didn't know what you were going to do, and God gave you that answer. And not only did He answer your prayer, but He gave you the joy in your heart. He gave you that song of happiness, that song of peace, that song of joy. I put here, David went from singing the blues to spreading the news. Singing the blues to spreading the news. God gave him that joy. Look what else. Next part of the verse. It says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Do you know that people are watching how you react to your trials? People are watching me and how I react to difficult times in my life. Listen, I know that many of you in this room today are going through a hard time. I don't know many of them, but I do know personally that some people in this room today, I know that you're struggling, you're having difficulties, hard time in life with whatever the situation may be. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. The devil does fight against you. But people are watching how you react. Unsaved family, co-workers, friends, if they know you're going through something, they can tell. They are watching you. And the power of your faith in the Lord will draw folks to Christ. The power of your faith will draw others to the Lord. That peaceful look on your face in difficult times speaks volumes to those in your life. It speaks volumes to this man standing on the platform. I know many of you, and I've seen many of you, even in 2 years, go through a trial. And your example in my life has strengthened my life and helped me to learn things. People are watching. It says, many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. Your faith, your trust in God will bring others to Christ. It's hard, I understand, but people are watching. Verse 4, he goes on to say, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Great faith honors God, and God honors great faith. Let me say that again. I hope you heard it. Great faith honors God, and God honors great faith. He does. I believe that God's blessing on your life and on my life is solely based on His love for us, in spite of us. Listen, you know God provided for me even when I'm not doing everything I should be? God provided and blessed us even when we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. So I believe God blesses us, provides for us because He loves us. But I believe that the amount of God's blessing in our lives is determined on how devoted we are to Him. Yes, God will bless us even if we're not doing everything right. He'll provide for us. Listen, I'm alive, I'm healthy, my family's provided. I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes, and so do we all. But I believe that if I can devote my entire life, my entire being to the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of my life, He will bless me more. He promised He would. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Folks, I believe that, listen, God will bless us because He loves us. He'll take care of us because He loves us. But even more when we're devoted to Him, when we keep Him the center of our lives. Beyond that, in verse 4, it's not just about trusting in God, but not trusting in anything or anyone else. Look what he says. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There are people in every one of our lives that are going to try to get you to not trust in God. Maybe not even in a bad way, but they have good intentions. They want to help you. But listen, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Listen, nothing in a bottle, no pill, no cigarette, nothing's going to give me the peace that I need that only God can give me. There are going to be people in your life. Listen, even if it's a relationship, no relationship is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is a relationship that will carry you through any problem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for a great relationship with your wife, your husband, your parents, your kids. That is, the Bible tells us to have that. But the most important relationship in our lives is that relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, David said, listen, not just trusting God, but respecteth not the proud. Those people who do try to get you to trust something else, not even giving those people the opportunity to tempt you with it. And it also says, he says, the lies, turn aside to lies. Lies in this verse refers to idols. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, I know as a Christian, as a youth pastor, when times are difficult in my life sometimes, it's easy to try to figure it out on my own and try to figure, oh, I got to get this much money. And you do, you got to be smart and you have to have common sense. But listen, God is above everything. And God will solve any problem that we have. The song says, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Think about it. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. He goes on to say in verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Listen, we can't even begin to... I sang that song this morning. Every time I sing, God's been good. And I sang, Pastor was scheduled this morning to sing, and I was the sub, which is all right. So I said, I'm picking out one that I know, and I'm not going to mess up on. And every time I sing this song, no matter how many times I sing it, I want to really mean it in my heart. Sure, I know the words, I know the song, I've heard it 1,000 times, but I don't want to just sing it just to sing it. I want to really think about it. And I try every time to think about all the things that God has done for me when I sing that song. But you know, I can't even scratch the surface. Was that song 3 minutes long, 3.5 minutes long? Listen, I can't even begin to scratch the surface on all that God has done for me in my 24 years of life. And many of you in this room are older than I am. You have more years of experience and more years of God's blessing on your life. He says, they're more than can be numbered. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And not just what he's done, but the thoughts which are to usward. Not just all that God gives us and provides for us, but even what he thinks about us. How much he loves us. Oh, amazing that God would do that for me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God, all the works that he's done for us. He goes on in verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. In David's time, the religious rituals involved sacrificing animals in the tabernacle, whether it was the burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering. That's a whole other study in itself that I need to study because that is a deep stuff. But listen, David said right here, even in David's time, David wrote this psalm. He said, listen, it's not about the sacrifice. It's not about the offering. It's not about the burnt offering or the sin offering. No, God wants more than that. God wants our heart. God wants a devoted heart. Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. David realized that in this time zone. David knew that. It was more than the sacrifice. It was more than the offering. God wanted his heart. He said, mine ears has to open. Listen, folks, he wants a devoted heart. He wants devotion from us. Listen, praise God for you folks being here today and sitting in these pews. Many of you served in Sunday school classes and in nurseries and you sang out. Listen, but How are we? Why are we doing it? Are we doing it because it's habit? Are we doing it because we know we're supposed to? Are we doing it because we're devoted to Christ? Many of you put a tithing envelope in the offering plate today. And I have to be careful. I don't just put it in because, well, if I don't do it, then, you know, I have to because I want to do it. What we do is important, but so is why we do it. God, listen, anybody can come to church, sit, sing the song, put a dollar on the offering plate, whatever. Anybody can do that. But God wants our heart in it. He wants a devoted heart. Any ministry that you have, how's your heart? Anything that, even when you put your tithing envelope in the offering, how's your heart? Listen, I'm preaching to myself, folks. I understand I understand the flesh. I know that. But God wants a devoted heart. It's not just about the sacrifice, the offering. It's about our heart. He wants a devoted heart. He goes on in verse 7. Said, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Many have said that this psalm is a messianic psalm. It prophesies the coming of Christ in verse 7 when he said, lo, I come. And then in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Talk about his death on the cross and doing God's will. But in our lives, we can apply it. David said, listen, he said, Lord, he said in verse 6, not about sacrifice, not about the offering. Lord, you want my heart. And then in verse 7, he says, lo, I come. Lo, I come. Here I am, God. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to obey. He had a willing heart. Now, folks, can I say, if you're not saved today, I'm not going to pretend that I'm preaching to all Christians, because maybe there's someone here that's not. If you're not saved today, you don't know Jesus, your Savior. You don't have a home in heaven. Listen, you can be saved today. God can save you. God can change your life, and He can use you no matter what you've been through. That's the truth. But I do believe that many in this room are Christians, have professed Christ. But when's the last time, as a Christian, we said, lo, I come. Here I am, God. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to obey. God saved us. He's changed our lives already. But if we said, lo, I come, I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to start serving. I'm ready to start tithing. I'm ready to start coming on Sunday nights and being faithful to your house. Hey, I'm ready to get involved. I'm ready to start sowing. I'm ready to start passing out tracts. I'm ready to obey God. Lo, I come. I'm ready to obey. If we're saved, we're a child of God. When's the last time we said, hey, I'm ready? I'm excited about obeying God. Verse 7, verse 8, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Excited about obeying God. Man, when's the last time we were excited about the things of the Lord? Listen, this is a hard one. Excited about putting that envelope in the offering plate. Excited about coming out Saturdays. Excited about shoveling out so you can get to church. Listen, I know, I understand, folks. I was out shoveling the front patio. That was a pain. Has some heavy snow. Listen, I understand that. But David said, lo, I come. He realized his heart had to be in it, or it wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't mean a thing. He realized, listen, in many cases, it's the opposite, though. I know in my life there have been times when, man, I knew I had bills coming up. I knew I had things. And to put that offering in the plate was difficult. It was like, well, but listen, I can't be like that. No, if my heart is truly devoted to Christ, I'll know. I'll trust Him. I know He'll provide. Listen, excited about obeying God. Many people dread the thought of tithing. They dread the thought of coming on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Oh, I got to get ready again and get the kids ready. Listen, life is life, I understand, but God is God too. Folks, excited about serving God. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, but is your heart truly devoted? We go on in the next two verses. David did just that. David delighted to do his will, to do God's will. He says in verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. David was telling everybody about the goodness of God. He told the congregation all about what God did for him. He goes on to say, I have not refrained my lips. He couldn't keep his mouth shut about all that God had done for him. As Christians, are we doing that? O Lord, thou knowest. Verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He didn't hide it. He didn't keep it to himself. No, he told everybody he could about how good God was. It is easy to get up here and sing, God's been good, to a group full of people who believe it. But to get out in Jackson and knock on doors and do the same, it's a little bit more, it's a little harder. It's a little harder. But David did it. David preached righteousness to the congregation. He didn't hide it. And as Christians, we should not hide all that God's done for us. And not just in our church house, but anywhere we go, proclaiming the goodness of God in everything we do. I'm not saying you got to stand on a street corner with a huge, you know, sign on your chest that says, God is good to me. But listen, you can be a testimony at work. I'll never forget at Turf Care. At Turf Care that I used to work at this fertilizer company in Massachusetts. I mean, I'd come in on Monday morning, and I decided when I started at Turf Care in January of 2010, I had, at my previous jobs in college, I hadn't had the greatest of testimonies. I hadn't had a bad testimony. I really had no testimony at all. People knew I was a Christian, but I didn't really do much about it. I just kind of kept to myself. I was nervous. I got to Turf Care when I got home from college. I said, listen, I'm going to make sure they know that I love the Lord. I don't care what. If I have to get fired, I'm not going to disappoint the Lord anymore in my job. And I never, as I began to work there, I've told the story before, they started calling me Father Don. And they started telling me, like, oh, when I get some pals, you can stand and preach to us. And they were just kind of joking around with me. Well, that was all right with me. But I used to come in Monday mornings and grab some random guy and say, hey, man, we had 87 on the bus yesterday. Man, it was crazy. I ate 2 goldfish for the kids. It was crazy. And these guys look at me like, man, are you crazy? What's going on? But listen, I wanted to proclaim the goodness of God. I wanted them to know what was important to me, the things of God. And folks, in your life, at your job, in your family, what do people think is important to you? David said, I have preached righteousness. You know what? It's easy to complain sometimes. The devil gives us a lot to complain about, but God gives us much more to be thankful for. God gives us much more to be happy about. Don't hide what God's done. Psalm 66:16, David said, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I'll tell others about it. That's why we have Saturday visitation soul winning. We want to go out and be a blessing to people. That's why, not only on Saturday, but throughout the week as Christians, that's why we have a track rack to take it and to proclaim God's goodness in your life. May we do that as Christians. David moves on in the next few verses. You know, here, the first 10 verses, David's just praising the Lord, thanking God for all he's done and praising him. And it's amazing how after David praises God and talks about all that God did for him, this psalm kind of takes a turn. And it goes from a psalm of praise and dedication to almost a prayer for mercy. Look at verse 11. David said, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. It really took a turn. He went from saying, God, I preach thy righteousness. I've told your goodness. And he says, Lord, please make sure, give me your mercies, Lord. Please let not your loving kindness fail. He was like a prayer of mercy. Why did he say that? Look at verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. It was a hard time for David. Again, we don't know the exact time frame, but we do know David had a lot of trials in his life. He had a lot of things, he made mistakes that he made, and people were out for his life. It was a hard time for David. He said, innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. David had sinned greatly. We don't know, again, we don't know when this happened. We do know David did sin against God. He stole someone's wife. He murdered the husband. He had a baby. Listen, he made some big mistakes. Psalm 51, he says, my sin is ever before me. Oh, David was struggling. He was having a hard time. And then he goes on to say, at the end of the verse, therefore, my heart faileth me. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Some of you in this room are there today. You're right there in Psalm 40:12. Innumerable evils have compassed you about. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's sin in your past that you've gotten over, but you can't get over that guilty past. Your heart, you feel like your heart has failed you. You feel so weak, so worthless. I'm not going to pretend that that's not someone in this room today. But listen, listen. Look what he says in verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Oh, David knew what he needed. He called on God for a speedy delivery. He said, Lord, please, hastily deliver me. Lord, please. Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I'm going through this struggle. Lord, I've had this sin. But Lord, you can help me. Lord, please deliver me from this. He knows exactly what we need. And whatever it is in your life, whether it's a trial or sin or past sin that you feel guilty about, God can deliver you. You need to do it today. God will help. And David didn't just have those personal problems in his heart, but look what else it says in verse 14. He says, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. David didn't have just problems in his own personal life, in his heart, but he had people that wanted to kill him. He had people that wanted to destroy him. It was more than just his personal heart problems. He had problems and troubles with other people against him. And I know every one of us in this room, if we stopped and felt hard enough, we all have something that we're going through. All of us we're going through, a struggle, a problem, sin in our own personal lives. But can I say this? Many of us in this room, we're not just dealing with our own personal problems, but we're dealing with problems of other people. Whether it's a marriage that's struggling, or a wayward child. And you're so worried about them. You pray for them, but their problems, their struggles are carrying over onto the parent. Or in some cases, they're carrying over to the child problem from the parents. Listen, I don't know what the situations are, but I know I would say that. You're not just dealing with your own person, but there's things around you. What you're around, there's problems too. There's struggles too. Many of us have those problems, trials, or struggles in situations. It's not just your struggles, but it's others as well. Sometimes it seems that we have so much going on, we forget what we're supposed to be worried about. We forget the problem we're worried about because there's so many going on. But listen, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus promised he would. Take those problems in your life and the problems of others that you carry too. Give them to God. Let go and let God. Go to God on behalf of others. Maybe it's beyond people you love. Maybe it is enemies in your life. David had enemies. Maybe you have enemies in your life. People that you feel are out to get you. Listen, pray for those people. Give it to God. So often we try to fix our own problems. We need to do what David did. Just go to God. Just go to God and give those problems to him. Listen, parents, I know there's parents in this room. Man, you're worried about your kids. Whether they're teenagers or adults. And you're worried about them. Trust God. Trust God. Have faith. Trust in God. He'll help you. He will help you. Pray. Trust him. The psalm finishes with these last two verses. See in verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. David's desire in this chapter, his desire is that all those who seek God and trusted him to be satisfied, to be happy. He wanted God to be magnified, and he wanted the people to be blessed as they served God. That's what David wanted. He wanted these people to have, the people he was writing this to, he wanted them to have a heart of devotion to God. He wanted God to be magnified, and he wanted the people to be blessed for serving him. That's what he wanted. And that's what we want. That's what I want as a youth pastor for my teenagers. That's what pastor wants for this church. That's what we want. We want God's people to do God's work, God's way, and receive God's blessing. That's what we want. We want the people of the Lord doing the work of the Lord, the way of the Lord, and we know that they'll have the joy of the Lord. That's what we want, folks. We want, first of all, God to be magnified. This church is not about Loomis Park Baptist. No, this church is about Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for the ministries and activities we have, but this is all about God. It's all about God. We want God to be magnified. And we want those sitting in the pews and in the teen room and in the junior church, we want those people, God's servants, we want them to be happy serving God, to have a devoted heart towards the Lord. That's what we want. God's will, may it be and always should be magnified. God needs to be magnified in every area of our lives. We finish here in verse 17. He says, but I am poor and needy. I believe that this verse sums up the whole chapter. I believe it sums up the whole chapter. He starts here and says, but I am poor and needy. David realized his struggles. He knew what he was going through. He knew what things were happening. And he actually mentions that in verse 2. He talks about the horrible pit and the miry clay. He talks about in verse 11 and 12 what's going on in his life, the innumerable evils and the iniquities in his heart. He knows he struggles. He said, I'm poor and needy. Then he says this, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. What a thought that is. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. In the midst of David's struggles and sin and problems, he knew that God loved him and would take care of him. He believed it. He mentions that in the first five verses. He talks about waiting for God and how God took him out of that pit and set his feet on a solid rock and all the wonderful works that God did for him. David mentions that already in the first five. And then even in verse 9 through 11, he talks about all the great things, how he preached righteousness and his loving kindness. Listen, David knew that God was thinking about him. He says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He goes on and says, thou art my help and my deliverer. David knew that he couldn't do what he needed to be done. He knew he couldn't do what needed to be done to solve his problems. He knew he didn't have the power to do it. He knew he didn't have the answers. But he knew that God and God alone was his answer. He said, God, you are my help and you are my deliverer. And he mentions that thought through the whole chapter, about how God was there for him and he waited for God and he heard his cry and the works that God did for him and his righteousness. And he talks about all that, how God was there for him. He knew. And then he finishes saying, make no tarrying, O my God. He finished with that statement, almost saying, hurry, God, hurry, hurry. Isn't it amazing? I caught this when I was studying this last night. The first phrase of the chapter, the first six words and the last phrase of the chapter almost are on opposite sides. The first six words, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. From the last six words, he says, make no tarrying, O my God. It was like he said, I'll be patient, but then Lord, but I don't think it was in a negative way. I think in his patience, he said, Lord, please hurry. I don't think it was a negative, disrespectful, Lord, hurry up. I think he realized that God was his only hope. God was his only hope. He said, Lord, I have these problems, I have these struggles, but Lord, I don't have the answers. I can't fix them. Nothing else is going to fix them. Only you can fix them. Lord, please, hurry, Lord, please, fix these problems. Help me, Lord, help me. Be my deliverer. He realized that God was his only hope. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you can relate with David in this chapter. Poor, he said, I'm poor and needy. Maybe that's you today. You're struggling. You have a struggle in your life. You have a trial, something going on in your life, a hard, difficult time, whatever it could be. It could be so many different things it could be. But you know your heart, and you know what you face. Maybe you say, you know, that's me today. There's sin in my life. There's sin in my past that I just can't seem to... I feel like God can't use me because of my past, and I just don't know what to do. And you say, I'm poor and needy. The next phrase in that verse is my title. And that is, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Yet, that's my title, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Listen, David knew he was poor and needy, and maybe you know the same. I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. This chapter, this psalm, I believe stems from that one phrase. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. All the good things that God did that David talked about, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. All the desire for God to be close to us, he wants more than just sacrifice, he wants our heart. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He wants us to be devoted to him, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He wants us to be close to him. The fact that he has a plan and a will for us, he says that, I'd like to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy laws with my heart, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. The conviction of our sin, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Even the problems that he takes care of, yet the Lord thinketh about me. This whole chapter, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, because he thinks about me. He thinks about you, the creator of the universe. You're on his mind. That's what the Bible says. Maybe today, as we have the invitation in just a few moments, maybe today you can relate to something in this chapter that we just studied. That was just preached on. Maybe you say, you know what? In my life, you know, God's been so good to me, and I don't thank Him enough. I need to hit the altar and just praise God for the wonderful work that He's done in my life. I don't do it enough. Maybe you say, you know what? I may come to church, I may serve, but my heart is not as devoted as it should be. My heart is not in it like it should be. Listen, I serve, but it's not like it should be. I'm not devoted. It's more like a sacrifice or an offering. It's not really my heart. Maybe that you need to get up and say, Lord, please help me to be devoted to you, Lord. I'm giving you not just my service, but I'm giving you my heart, Lord. I'm devoting my life to you. Maybe there's some sin in your life. As David said in verse 12, he said, my iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. Maybe that's you today. There's sin in your life. You feel like you can't even look up. You feel like you can't even lift your head because there's so much sin. Make it right today. It's what church is about. Getting right with God. Doing business with God. Or maybe it's the other side of it where there's you're not in sin right now, but there was sin in your past and you just can't seem to get past. You say, Lord, God can't use me because of what I did. Listen, God can use you. That's what the whole Bible's about. Hey, God used David. Look what David did. God, maybe that's you today. Say, man, I've messed up in the past and I need to trust God to give me that victory and to use me in spite of me. And He will. Or maybe it's that phrase, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, it's amazing that He thinks about me. But how much do I think about Him? How much do I think about God? How much do you, church, think about God? Not just on Sundays, on a daily basis. Hey, He thinks about us. He thinks about us. Do we think about Him? Is He on our mind? I hope He is. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. The instrumentalists are going to come. They're going to play song 534, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." As they're preparing to play, think about it in your life. What is it in your heart, in your life, that you need to talk to God about? Everybody has something. I encourage you on a Sunday morning to hit the altar. Listen, just because it's Sunday morning doesn't mean we don't hit the altar. No. All the more reason to. Do business with God tonight.